Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight, for the testimonies, and just for another opportunity to be in church. And praise the Lord for each and every one of you that took advantage of the opportunity you had, and you're here tonight looking forward to what the Word of God has for us tonight. I believe that God wants to speak to us. He wants us to understand that which He has written down and preserved for us. And so Sunday nights we've been in a series on, first of all, going through the entire Bible. We gave you one message on each book of the Bible just to give you an idea why that book's in the Bible, just what it's there for. And so one message on each book of the Bible. Then we got in the book of Revelation, started breaking it down, going through the book of Revelation verse by verse. And I trust it's been a help to you. If you have your Bibles tonight, if you look with me to the Revelation chapter 20, we'll be studying verse 10 down to verse 15, the end of the chapter 20 there. But the Bible takes us from eternity past all the way through to eternity future. Everything that we need to know about the eternity past has been written down, preserved for us in the Scripture. Whenever man's philosophies and man's account of history, when they disagree with the Word of God, always believe the Word of God. Amen. God's the only eyewitness that we have that was there in the beginning of all things. Amen. And the very same thing is true about the eternity future. There's a lot of different philosophies concerning what's going to happen to this world and what the future holds and what takes place when a person dies, what is after death. And so there's a lot of different philosophies, a lot of different religious beliefs on what that's going to be. But the Word of God is what reveals to us biblical truth concerning the future. And so the Bible takes us from eternity past through eternity future. God has a purpose for revealing all that He has revealed. He has a purpose for revealing what took place in eternity past. Your belief on creation or a belief in evolution will set you in a motion going opposite directions. And you have to choose to believe. They're both, that the idea of evolution is a philosophy of man, and Satan is working very hard to try to get humanity to buy into that. But we find that according to the Bible, in the beginning, God created. And faith in the Word of God, faith in knowing what God has revealed to us. And so He has revealed what we have need to have revealed. There's a purpose for everything He has. And so we need to believe what the Bible teaches as reality, and that God created all things, no matter what man might throw at us. And the very same is true concerning the future. God has a purpose for revealing what He has revealed concerning the coming events. The coming events. Now, all of what has been prophesied leading up to the rapture of the church has already been fulfilled. And so we look back over the accurate account of Scripture concerning what has been prophesied. And everything that has been prophesied that would take place before the rapture has taken place. So praise the Lord for that. I mean, we look back over history, we look at what the Word of God revealed before that time, and we can gain confidence in knowing the accuracy of the Scriptures. And so the idea there, if Christ came the first time, and we know He did, I mean, we even in America, we hold to the Christian calendar, and we have the dates on our calendar that acknowledges the fact that there was a day that Jesus was born. We call it Christmas, the day we celebrate it. And there was a day that He resurrected from the grave, and that is Easter. We have it on the Christian calendar, and so much more. But that has come to pass. It was prophesied that it would come to pass. It has already come to pass, and praise the Lord. Now we know if that has already come to pass, and what God has revealed for a future, if that come to pass, then everything else will come to pass, and it will. It will. So the next event in prophecy is the rapture of the church. And so we've been going through, and the Bible has much to say about that. From chapter 4 all the way through to chapter 19, we were dealing with the rapture of the church. A couple other things, though. In our study of the book of Revelation, I mentioned to you that good men differ on some of the interpretations. Some of the interpretations of the symbolisms and some of the interpretations of the timing of all things and everything that has taken place and when it takes place. There's some that might disagree on that. A good man will never disagree on the doctrines of Scripture. If they're in disagreement with the doctrines of Scripture, then they're not good men. But good men will agree to the doctrines of Christ, what Jesus Christ taught. When the Bible is silent on and not giving us all the information, then evidently God didn't seem fit to give us that. We don't need that. And so in that, there will be some differences of opinion and differences of interpretation when it comes to those things. And so we've been going through the book of Revelation, studying that, realizing that. And so don't come up to me afterwards and say, well, this is what I heard and interpreted this way or that way. If it's not a doctrinal issue, you can believe whatever you want to believe on that. Amen? Praise the Lord for it. That's not going to make a difference in eternity. If it would have made a difference, then God would have revealed exactly what the interpretation would be. This is a practical study. I'm a practical preacher. That's the only kind of study I can give you. And I'm a practical preacher. I like to take the Word of God and actually help you to be able to know how it applies to your life today. Amen. And I believe that's exactly why God has revealed it to us. You know, so that we would understand the purpose of knowing that and how it would impact our lives today. And praise the Lord. That's why it's a practical study of the book of Revelation. So with all that in mind, Revelation chapter 20, we've already studied the rapture of the church, what's going to take place in heaven, the judgment seat of Christ for all the believers. There's going to be the tribulation, the 7-year tribulation period on this earth. There's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb for the bride of Christ before Christ returns with the church. There's going to be the Battle of Armageddon. There's going to be a millennial reign of Christ, a 1,000-year reign, Christ sitting on the throne of Jerusalem. And what a blessing all that's going to be. We studied that. And then last week we studied Satan's eternal fate. He's going to be cast, the last one of the satanic trinity. The false prophet and the beast are already been cast in there, but after Satan is loose for 1,000 years, and then at the end of the 1,000 years, he is going to be cast into eternal hell, and it doesn't end his life. He will be tormented, the Bible says, night and day for an eternity. Praise the Lord. That's exactly where Satan needs to be, and that's exactly what needs to happen to that fallen angel who is Lucifer or Satan. All right, well, tonight now, with all that said, let's go back. We're going to pick up on verse 10 and then read down to verse 15. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. The great white throne judgment. That used to put fear into humanity. Anymore, because of the philosophies of humanity and how people are being raised not to believe in a God, most don't even understand what the great white throne judgment is. They have no clue. And praise the Lord that we have the Word of God that reveals the white great white throne judgment. And it should put fear in all humanity. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And shall be, here it is, tormented day and night forever and ever. The same devil that gives us a hard time and works opposite the will and the ways of God that we battle, that opposes us, they're all during this church age. Amen. We know where he's going to end up. And that's a blessing. Verse 11 now. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you tonight, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us. Thank you for what you revealed to us to help us to know the fate of not only Satan, but humanity. where it all is going to come to an end and where eternity begins and the blessings of heaven and eternity. I pray tonight, God, for all that are assembled here in this auditorium. You know exactly what's taken place in each one of their lives. You know what kind of understanding they have of the Scriptures. And I pray tonight that this would be so clear that they would have this understanding that you want us to have concerning the end time. I pray that you'd meet with us and bless now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. First of all, the Bible, God calls it the great white throne. Verse 11, and I saw a great white throne. Now, the final throne of judgment is called great. It's the greatest or the largest gathering of all time. This is all the lost sinners of human history. Every one of them. Going all the way back to Cain. And every other man, woman, and child under the age of accountability or above the age of accountability that did not receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, everyone that would have been accountable according to God and died without knowing Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior will be at this final judgment. That's why he calls it great. Can you imagine? I don't know that we could even have a number. It's going to be innumerable. God will know, but we find that all lost sinners of human history will see the great God that they had rejected and are faced with their excuses on why they did not seek after God. God is there to be found, and he is a rewarder of all of those who diligently seek him. From the beginning of creation with Cain and Abel, all the way through around the world, people who would acknowledge the fact that there is a God, and if they would continue to seek after knowing that God, then God will make a way and has made a way for those individuals to eventually come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible reveals. That's what it says. And all of those that have bought into whatever excuse, listened to the devil, and been deceived concerning the reality of God, that bought into this satanic deception of evolution, and that there is no God, and there is no place of hell, there is no heaven, this is all there is, this life, everyone that's bought into that and has not sought after the living God, and by not seeking after the living God, has rejected God's plan for salvation through Jesus Christ, will stand and be in judgment before God. That's the great part of it. That's why it says the great white throne judgment. And can I tell you, when they realize there's no one that has died that has any question whether or not the Bible is true? No one that has died has any question at all realizing that there is a heaven and there is a hell? No one who has faced death, moments after their eyes close in death, they either are face to face with Jesus, as the born again believers are, or they're facing eternal torment in a place of hell prepared for them awaiting this great white throne judgment. All who die, there's not a one that questions. And everyone that died without receiving Jesus Christ is going to have to face the reason behind not seeking after a creator God. Right. How foolish decision, how foolish it would seem to them once they realize how I was deceived and what I turned to keep from believing in and receiving Jesus Christ. Stop and think about right now. Even maybe there's somebody here tonight that you say, I don't know if my eyes were to close in death that I would go to a place of heaven, because I'm not sure that I believe in heaven or hell. I'm not sure whether I believe that there's only one plan of salvation. I don't know that I truly believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, even though the Bible is very clear. Jesus very clear in saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen to me. What is it that is blinding you to the free gift? You don't have to work for it. You can't work for it. Right. You don't have to pay for it. There's not enough money to pay for it. The Bible says it is a free gift to all of those who will simply believe and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what's keeping you from that? God's made it so simple that any boy or girl, the age of accountability, whether that's 5, 6, 7, 8, 12, 16, who knows? It's different from each one. But when they finally come to that age of accountability, they, as a child, can be saved. God's made it so simple, so clear, that even children, praise the Lord for children getting saved. They have their whole life ahead of them. I tell our bus workers all the time that every child that gets saved, you send the Holy Spirit home with them. And the Holy Spirit in that child's life will make a difference. And that Holy Spirit in the home will make a difference. As God promises, when we get saved, we are sealed. The Holy Spirit of God comes within us, and we are sealed into the day of redemption. Never going to leave them. Never going to forsake them. He's there. Praise the Lord for that. Yeah, will make a difference. But what are the excuses that people use? They will know what that excuse was when they stand at the great white throne. The white symbolizes the purity of God's holiness. It's pure, holy justice. Amen? There's no respect of persons. God is not going to say, well, I'm going to respect your person because of this or that or whatever. No, God is no respecter of persons. And everyone will give an account of themselves and what they did. So it's great and it's white. The Bible says that, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, and from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. That's the end of this present earth as we know it. Global warming coming to pass. Amen. It is. The earth and the atmosphere, the Bible says, is going to flee away. Possibly, based on other scripture, it's going to just be consumed by the sun. Now, 2 Peter, look there with me, because it gives us a little bit of insight into what's going to happen with the earth. And Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 3, Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. He's saying that this physical earth and the atmosphere of this earth, that's the heaven he's talking about, is the atmosphere of this earth that God created for humanity, it's going to be dissolved. It's going to pass away. And then we find that Peter writes here in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 6, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Now he reveals how that God destroyed the earth with the flood in the beginning of time. And in verse 7 it says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store. Who's keeping them in store? Not the conservatives. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not against that. I think we ought to be accountable, and I think we ought to be good stewards of what God's given us, and God's blessed us with a great planet Earth. Amen? And we ought to do all we can, amen, to keep it as clean and working properly. But it's God who keeps it together. Amen. It's God who preserves it. I don't have to worry about this Earth coming to an end prematurely. I don't have to worry about some kind of other planet or some kind of comet coming through and destroying present day Earth prematurely. I don't have to worry about the sun running out of power to heat the Earth prematurely. I don't have to worry about that. Why? Because God has stated that He reserves it. That's what the Bible says. It's kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. Talking about the white throne judgment. Verse 8 it says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And this New Testament church age, the Bible, in looking to that, it's only been 2 days. It's been 2,000 years, only been 2 days. Amen. Drop down to verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? There's a purpose that God's revealed how he's going to destroy the earth. So he said, knowing this is going to be true, what persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And if you don't believe that, the opposite's going to take place. There's going to be no holy conversations. There's going to be no godliness in the planet earth. And look around, and that's exactly what's taking place in America today. Because America has turned their back on God, and America is now teaching young people that there is no God. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And so we know that this world is being preserved by God, but in the end time, as this beginning of the great white throne judgment, the white throne judgment will not take place on planet earth. The earth and the heavens, the atmosphere, will be dissolved. How that's going to take place, that's one of those areas. Different men have different interpretations. God doesn't need to use a sun. He created the sun. God could speak. God could just say the words and the earth would burn up. And so there's different thoughts on that as well, but that's not a doctrinal issue to have to worry about. Amen. You can believe it's going to be burned up any way you want to believe it's going to be burned up. Just know the Bible says it's going to be dissolved and it's going to be burned up. Amen. Everything on this earth will be burned up and this atmosphere. Go back with me, because that's what it says about the great white throne. In verse 12, he says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto once to die, appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So, the dead, those that have died, physical death, small and great, no matter what their position was on this in this life, if they died without Christ, they're going to be resurrected to this white throne judgment. Those that died in Christ, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. And we're going to be reunited with all of those saints when the rapture takes place. We're going to be reunited with Christ. We've already studied that, but now it's talking about the dead, those that did not receive Christ as their Savior, whose name is not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Bible says that those dead, he saw them, and they're standing before God. The final judgment is not to decide between heaven or hell. That's not why they're being resurrected for the great white throne judgment. Their fate has already been determined. It is whether or not their name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life will determine their fate. The Lamb's Book of Life, how do you get your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? And that is by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the Lamb of God. And when you trust in him and you receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so we find here the Book of Life is going to be there. And if their name was not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, their fate has already been determined. But what is going to be determined is coming from the books. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, plural, according to their works. So your works, they do make a difference. Your works would make a difference, and the works of those that are saved, standing at the judgment seat of Christ, amen, receiving the crowns and the blessings that God has in store, they also make a difference to the lost. God is recording the works, the lifestyle of the lost. That's what he wants us to realize here, even today, realizing that God is keeping track of what every man and woman and child over the age of accountability does with their lives. So it is the judgment to decide the degree of suffering and torment. There's going to be torment for all, but the degree of torment, according to the scriptures, will be different. John chapter 19. This is what Jesus had taught as well, and it's always the Bible is able to help us to understand scripture. Scripture interprets scripture. John chapter 19. John chapter 19, as Jesus was teaching, he knew exactly what was going to take place when he was here on this earth. And he gave us much insight into the future prophecies and what was going to take place at the end day. We've been studying that all along. But in John chapter 19 and verse 11, Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given me from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." He's telling me, you're sinning, but there was those who are more accountable for this act of sin. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And if I go too fast, you can write these verses down, but I want you to have this as reference to understand that there are different degrees, and that's what the Bible wants you to understand as well. Matthew chapter 11, verse 21, verse 22. Jesus here teaching again. He says this. He says, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you." What's he revealing there? Degrees of judgment, degrees of torment. So we find here, along with what Jesus taught and what the book of Revelation is revealing to us, they're going to be brought back at the judgment seat of Christ, all of those who died without Christ in their lives, and they are going to give an account of their works. And that will determine the degree of suffering that they are going to have to endure for an eternity in hell. Small and great reveal all mankind. God is no respecter of persons. He also reveals that all of them will be resurrected. So then they go to a place of hell. Many believe that this is the place of hell that the Bible refers to as a place of Hades hell. It's where the spirit of man, woman, and those above the age of accountability, if they die without Christ, they go to this place of hell. And Jesus taught a little bit about that. But in John chapter 5 and verse 29, John chapter 5 and verse 29, he says this about this day of reckoning and this judgment seat of Christ. In chapter 5 and verse 29, he says, verse 28, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life." Those that have been saved, okay, their spirit goes immediately with Jesus Christ, but there's going to be a glorified body prepared for them at the rapture, and they will come together before Christ. "And then they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." So those without Christ, now they're going to be resurrected. And so if it's going to be in a place of torment, if eternal hell, Gehenna hell, is a place of torment, then if there's a body that God has prepared, a glorified body for those who are going to live eternity in heaven, then there will be some type of a body that is going to be prepared for those that are going to be resurrected and then cast into this place of eternal damnation. A body prepared for that very place. I believe the body that also will be determined by the degree of judgment in somehow, some way. So now we find that this is what the Bible says. Go back to Revelation chapter 20. And so they have been resurrected. I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God. All those that have died without Christ throughout all of human history. And the books are going to be opened and everyone is going to have recorded their lives. It's going to be written in the books. Now, again, how it is a the Bible, God is trying to tell us that God is recording everything. Amen? God knows what's taking place. Whether it's in a book or on a CD or, it doesn't matter. God says he sees it all. There's nothing hid from the eyes of God. And how he chooses to reveal it to everyone, that's what he's going to do. We just know that's what the Bible teaches. Verse 12, the books and the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, he helps us to have a better understanding, and we'll get into this a little bit more, but in verse chapter 21, verse 27, after talking about heaven, he says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." And so we find that that's what God calls this book, this Lamb's book of life. That's for the recording of those that have been saved. The basis for eternal hell is found in this same book, whether or not that name is written down or not. That's why he says in verse 15, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life," this Lamb's book of life, "was cast into the lake of fire." Knowing that, and understanding what God's revealed to us, who would not want to make sure that your name has been written down in the Lamb's book of life? Praise the Lord, 50 years ago, 8 years old, in a third grade Sunday school classroom. I can remember it as if it was yesterday, and it's a half a century ago. I called upon the name of the Lord. Been saved ever since. I've been ready because my name has been written down in that Lamb's book of life for 50 years now. Yeah. Do you know when your name was written down? You need to think about that whenever you need to be blessed. Whenever you're going through a hard time, trials, whatever, just realize my name's written down in the Lamb's book of life. Most important thing that you'll ever do this side of heaven and this side of hell. To make sure your name's written down in that book of life. The books were plural. There's some differences of opinion and interpretation on what these books are, but I believe we have four different things that will be in the books according to the scriptures. I believe it'll works. So there's no doubt there's going to be a book of works, what you were able to accomplish for the cause of Christ or to hinder the cause of Christ. The most important thing has taken place on planet Earth and has been taking place since this church age began is the furtherance of the gospel. Reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What have we done in advancing the cause of Christ? That's the works that'll stand. Any other works that you've done for yourself, they're going to be burned up. But the works that will remain are the works that we've done for Christ. So those works that we have done for Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, they're going to be revealed to us. Okay? At this great white throne judgment, the works that they have done, the lost have done, in order to be a hindrance to the work of God, that have been used by the devil to oppose the church. Works that have hindered the cause of Christ. Possibly works of books of conduct. Luke in chapter 12, look back there with me. Luke in chapter 12, we have a little more insight from the Gospels. Jesus revealed it to us. Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. He's the one that gave us quite a bit of insight to being able to understand the prophecies, the future events that have been revealed in the book of Revelation. In chapter 12, in verse 47 and verse 48, talk about the parable of the steward here and the servants. And he says, "And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." I believe that's revealing a book of opportunities. There's going to, not everyone has the same opportunities to accomplish the same things. Everyone will have the opportunity to accomplish God's will for your life. But some have greater opportunity. If you live in America, you have a greater opportunity to advance the cause of Christ, because God raised this nation up for the purpose of evangelizing the world. And if you've been born in this Christian nation, even if you don't believe in God, you have been blessed and you have been given an opportunity above what anyone else who is born in any other country around the world has had. Since 1776, that would hold true. Anyone born in this great United States of America has had a greater opportunity than anyone born anywhere else. And so I believe there's going to be a book of opportunities. Some are going to be held more accountable for what they did based on their opportunities that were given to them. And then we know that there's going to be this book right here. And the books that they'll be judged out of, it'll be a books of their life, of their works, but then it'll also be compared with the Bible. How do you know that? John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Again, Jesus revealing that to us. John chapter 12, verse 48. I'm almost finished. Everybody with me? Stand with me. Praise the Lord. Don't go to sleep on me here. Come on, get in. This is powerful stuff. It really is. This is reality. This is truth that God has revealed to us. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus says, "He that rejecteth me receiveth not my words. Hath one that judges him." This is somebody that has rejected Christ, so they're going to be there at the great white throne judgment. And he says, "You have one that judges you. Hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." That book that you've had on your shelf that's been in your home, maybe just for a showpiece on the front table, that you have to brush the dust off of, it holds the truths that you'll be judged with. Whoa. With knowing that, then I would think that anyone with any common sense would realize this is a very important book to understand. This is a very important book to read. This is a very important book to come and hear it preached. It is. Our motto has always been, believe what the Bible teaches, attend a church that teaches the Bible. Why would you go to a church, a so-called church, that doesn't even open the Bible? Doesn't preach the truths. The books. Books of conduct, books of works, book of opportunities, precious book of the Bible. Verse 13. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." Hell, one of the interpretations, the English interpretations for the word hell used, is Sheol. And that word there is a Sheol hell, and that means the grave. Whether somebody died, was burned up, buried at sea, the graves of the earth and the seas will give up those that died in it. That's what I was talking about. The bodies and the spirits, a resurrection of the lost. They'll all stand at the great white throne judgment to give an account. And then he says in verse 14 and 15, "And death and hell all of those that had died once, been resurrected, have now been judged, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And the Bible reveals to us that this is the second death. Second death. If I've only been born once, I'll die twice. If I've been born twice, I only have to die once. Amen. There is a physical birth and there is a spiritual birth. Jesus used that in talking to Nicodemus. And he said, Nicodemus, that which is born in the flesh is flesh. That's a physical birth. You must be born again. If you want to know what it's going to take to go to heaven, if you want to have eternal life, then Nicodemus, you must be born again. And every man, woman, and child, the very same truth holds true today. If you've only been born once, all you've experienced is a physical life. You'll never experience an eternal life with God. For you'll die twice. You'll experience a physical death. And then you'll experience a second death. And that second death is the one to fear the most. Being cast into an eternal place of torment. The second death. Chapter 21, verse 8, right there it says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life. Goes back to that. Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Because if it's not, was cast into the lake of fire. God has revealed this future event so that we would know and possibly allow this truth to help us to make better decisions with the life that you have to live. If you know this to be true, it will impact how you live your life here. Possibly to help us to do more to see people, do more to see family, do more to see friends get saved. No matter who they are. Everyone will have to stand and give an account of themselves. Parents, your children will have to stand one day and give an account of themselves. To get saved, it'll be at the judgment seat of Christ. If they fail to receive Jesus as their Savior, it'll be at this great white throne judgment. Do you see the importance of raising them to know God? Do you see the importance of raising them to understand what this Bible teaches? The importance of helping them to make sure that their name's written down in the Lamb's book of life. Jesus knew about it. When he came as God manifest in flesh, he knew about it. And the Bible says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Let this prophecy, let this future event help us and living our lives for the Lord today. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed. Praise the Lord for the Word of God. What God has revealed, there's a purpose for everything that God has revealed. This great white throne judgment, He wanted us to know about this. This is not man's philosophy. This is what God has written down and preserved through His Word, the Bible. This is what God has said about the judgment. In the very last days, are we prepared? And are we helping others to be prepared for that judgment? Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. And I pray tonight that as we have preached on this passage of Scripture, this great white throne judgment, that you would have used it and you will continue to use it in our lives to help us to be mindful of the reality of this event. God, with this on our hearts and minds, help us to be all that we can be for the cause of Christ, to help see souls saved. Help see those that are saved to live for you and impact other people's lives for the cause of Christ. Help us to do everything we can to advance your cause, your purpose. Work in our midst. Bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.